Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo, and Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everyone in America and around the world. And I know it's going to be a better and brighter new year. And we have a very dynamic guest for you today. She's a returning guest, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her, Esther Perlman, in just a moment, right after these important messages.
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Columbo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
That's right. If you're concerned about depopulation and what's happening in the world, that most people are concerned about, you'll enjoy a fictional political satire with adventure and humor that critics say will cause you to be very concerned about our free will, free choice, freedom, and our right to choose, and our humanity. So don't miss out. You can go to rose-columbo.com. And you can get a signed autographed copy just by ordering it on the contact sheet. And you can also go to Amazon.com and read complimentary pages. And don't miss out on my latest book that just launched in November. And it is entitled, Is America Under Martial Law? It contains facts, it contains laws, it contains quotes by prominent people. Also, my research and my theory, is it possible that America could be under a coup and threat and martial law? And is this how the borders stay open? And so many other issues that we're concerned about that appear to be unconstitutional, illegal, and unlawful happening in America for the first time in U.S. history. So get the thought-provoking book at Amazon.com in paperback or on Kindle. One captain of the military said it is right on point, and he was very excited to read the book, and he gave it 5 stars, and he also was a top secret service agent as well. So here we go. I have a dynamic guest for you today. But first, I wanted to also say that, of course, this is the Rose, Rose Columbo, and I hope and pray that everyone is blessed with a new hope for a better and brighter future in America and around the world, because the world is really getting smaller and smaller. And we have been through some challenging times with the experimental injections. And now we're hearing about people who, after January, young people, children, adults, elderly, passing away or being permanently injured. And no one knows in the entire medical field how sudden death occurred since 2021. So let's hope and pray that things get better in 2023 and that the cost of gasoline and food and electricity is reduced and that we no longer have to be concerned about the cost of living increasing and more homelessness and more crimes coming in the future. Let's pray and hope and put good positive thoughts out there about being kind and compassionate and loving and giving helping hands across our nation and the world. And that's why I wanted to speak with Esther Perlman. She wrote a wonderful book, and it's a positive book, The Bright Side Mostly. And let me tell you about the book. Looking at the bright side takes some work during a pandemic. But now that the pandemic is over, which is when she wrote her book and did a positive thing with her time, she says in this latest collection of stories, she mostly turns to the pre-COVID past and shares a unique, often comic take on her life's happening. The stories travel from her creative world of art and writing to the home front, to her growing up, her mothering years, and much more. She's going to talk to us about that. And also, let me tell you a little bit about Esther Perlman. She is a writer. She is an artist. She's published. She's a wife, a mother, and a friend, and much more to everyone who she comes in contact with. She believes we all should give ourselves a hug for riding out this pesky COVID-19. She and her husband, Marty, live in Santa Monica, California, where she loves photography, and she loves to photograph strangers walking by. She uses a basis for her portrait. So she's a very interesting, creative artist and writer and a positive thinker. So right after this important message, we're going to say hello and welcome her into the world of authors and experts.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe. And it's located between Tucson, Phoenix, Sierra Vista, going up to Tombstone, and so many other cities. It's a almost 100-year landmark, and it has the original murals that were painted by a famous artist, and also it has the largest illuminated horseshoe lighting on the ceiling. So very interesting and popular spot for hungry travelers and for the locals as well, in the snowbirds. Very, very popular. But get your appetite ready is right, because it is homemade cooking. So let's now get into the world of authors and experts on Columbo Chronicles with the Rose Columbo, and say hello to our returning and dynamic guest, Esther Perlman. Hi, Esther. How are you this wonderful year of 2023, and Happy New Year to you and your family.
Happy New Year to you. Yes, it's raining, but we're managing not to go outside because we're not used to the rain, but we love the rain. And we can't wait to have the rain, but then when we have it, it's a big hassle.
Yes, it depends. You know, I always look at it like God's tears coming down of either happiness or sorrow, depending on what's happening, whether there's flooding or just some clearing of the toxins into the atmosphere and the pollution, and then making us breathe in our fresh air again, because the smell of rain is just beautiful, and clearing out the toxins.
Oh, you've been walking? Did you walk in
the
rain? Did you walked in the rain?
I have walked in the rain, yeah. Not the hard rain, but the light rain.
Yeah, well, we went for New Year's. So we're going to Newport Beach from Santa Monica. So my husband thought we would go early so we wouldn't get lost and we wouldn't catch the rain, because it's supposed to be treacherous rain that day, that night. And so we were on the freeway, Newport Beach freeway, and my husband missed the turnoff. So we go around about and go back, and then we can't find 22nd Street. So we call up the hotel where we were supposed to be staying at, and he said, well, just go on 22nd Street and then turn right, and we're right around the corner near the beach. And we couldn't even find the beach because it was foggy, you know. So then we go, we're in Costa Mesa while we get off at 22nd, where we're supposed to get off in Newport. And so we drove around for an hour, called him up a couple times, and we finally got there, and, you know, we were fit to be tied. So then we get all dressed up, and the room, we asked the guy that we had spoken to, you know, he said, I'll show you how to get to the room. So he opens the gate, we go around the corner, he opens the gate, and my husband says, well, can you carry my suitcases? He says, no, I have a bum leg. So my husband carries the suitcases in the rain. And then we get in the room, and there's three steps to the bathroom. And I think, oh, my God, how am I going to make it? Because I usually, you know, urinate in the middle of the night. And I thought, oh, my God, best put the light on, make sure there's three lights. I have to remember there's three steps. And so I did make it through. Then we get lost going to the hotel, and then we made it in time because we were going to meet this other couple. And then we go back, and we get lost again, and then and we were exhausted. You know, it was New Year's Eve, and but we did leave at 10:30, so we wouldn't have so much traffic. And then the next day, there was a nice restaurant that was so noisy, and it had all these people drinking, you know, from they hadn't left, I guess. And they had all those hats on, the New Year's hats on, but we had this fantastic view of the ocean. And we were sitting all the way in the back where the speaker was blasting. And, you know, we're not used to being out with all these wild people, I guess. But, you know, it was supposed to be New Year's. And then we came home early, about 10:30. It was exhausting, you know, to be going out, enjoying yourself. But, you know, when you don't know how to get there and you get lost and everything, I bet everybody's had that problem.
Oh, yeah, everybody's had that problem. When you go into a new area, it can get very complicated. And, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about in Costa Mesa. but the good thing is that you made it and you had some fun. And
yes, we did
brought
have
in
fun.
The new
and
year.
We danced. There wasn't any dancing. You know, there's a great band and a girl singing great, and there's no place to dance. So we were dancing in the entrance of the restaurant. But, you know, we did dance a couple of dances, and that was, you know, fun. And it was fun seeing our friends, too.
Well, a few years ago, like about five of my friends, because I live in the OC, my friend said, why don't we all just get dressed? We were all in the beauty industry at the time. Why don't we all just get dressed up and then let's go to the Ritz? And I said, well, I think it's a private party. I think you have to have reservations. She goes, no, get dressed up. We'll walk in as if we have reservations. Don't worry about it. So we're like, okay.
That was good.
Yeah,
we had a good time.
Up. We drove to the Ritz. Yes, we walked in like we were supposed to be there. And yeah, we got a nice table. We're talking to everybody, having fun. I met a lot of people. We had a blast.
Yeah. Oh, great.
So we actually crashed
God.
The New Year's Eve party at the Ritz in Newport.
All right. That's so cool. Yeah. Well, I know. It's really nice to, they say, to get out,
well,
you know, when you're having a holiday.
The part of it was actually being a party crasher on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, well, that's what they have in the movies. They always have these cute people going into the wrong room and there's a party going on and everybody's having fun. Yeah, well, that is nice to go someplace you haven't been to and everybody's moving around and having a good time. Did you do boogie-woogie or what was the dancing? Was it rock and roll?
Yeah,
I guess boogie-woogie, that's before our time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't there. I wasn't alive yet. But the they did have a 3-piece band, which was really nice, and live band. So we really enjoyed ourselves.
I used to be a dancing teacher at one time when I was going to school. I was working all day, taking the bus to school, LA City College, and then took the bus on Crenshaw in Manchester, and then I heard this great noise going on, and somebody's having fun. They were laughing, and I go into that place. It was a dance hall, and so they were teaching dancing lessons, or they were having a party, and so I said, oh, gee, I want to be a dancing teacher. So I talked to the owner, and she said, well, you have to take lessons first. So I took the lessons while I was going to school and working, you know, a couple of nights a week. And then it's amazing all the energy I used to have. And then so I ended up dancing, being the dancing teacher. And then my husband from New Jersey, he came out and I told him about the dancing. He took dancing lessons. So I was teaching dancing about 6 months. And then I got pregnant. You know, first we got married, then I got pregnant, and then they used to call me Mother of Pearl because of my last name, Pearlman. So then I said, could I get paid because I have to leave because I'm going to have a baby? And she's, well, your husband never paid, so that'll just subtract it from your paycheck.
Oh, my goodness.
No, awful.
Before having a baby on top of it, yeah, when you're young.
Well, it was
like
3 months.
That was not cool.
But I got an opportunity.
People remember.
I got a chance to learn how to dance.
Yeah, I love to dance. I've always loved, my whole family loves to dance. I love to dance.
I tell people,
you got to dance through life.
Yeah,
no matter what,
right.
Just keep laughing and dance through life.
Yeah,
too short not
time,
to.
Put some great music, you know, on Google. You don't even
sometimes
have to put on a record anymore. Just go on Google and you can hear it.
No, iTunes, any of them, you just turn it on and you got your music going and you can just dance by yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't even need a partner.
Yeah, well, I usually wake up in the middle of the night, you know. I mean, my hours are strange, and so I'll get up at 3 or 4, and then listen, and then they have the sit and be fit class that I do exercises at 5, and then 5:30 is a classical stretch class, and then I listen to music that's, you know, puts you back to sleep. Because they have this, you know, music that you can listen to on Google and for sleeping people want to sleep. So then I don't have to just do anything. I just stay in the room, and I could be in the room, and I could get my exercise done. I could go to sleep, and then I do some of the, you know, internet. We have a 3-level townhouse, so I don't disturb my husband doing all this stuff. Isn't that nice?
That's really nice, isn't it? Doesn't your husband have, like, spend more time on one floor and you spend more time on the other floor?
I know, yeah, that way we don't get bored with each other. And then we see each other for the meal. Usually, he's cooking his stuff and I'm cooking my stuff. And then, we went to a deli the other night, or yesterday. And so what happened was, Marty orders a pastrami sandwich, and he knows I don't want him to have that. And then he ordered chicken, a baked chicken for me, but they gave us a burnt baked chicken. And I didn't want to make a fuss, because sometimes those waitresses or waiters, they do something to the food before you, you know, if you return it, or they give you another food, you have to wait an extra half an hour to get the chicken made or something. So then my husband said, you know, I started eating it. It was very hard. And then it had black around the sides. Then he said, you should take it back. So the waitress was there, and she said, do you want me to take it back? And I said, no, because I didn't want to have a fuss, you know. So what does he do? After we start to leave, he goes and talks to the waitress and tells them that they were terrible, that they should have taken. But see, he has a hearing aid, so he must have missed that part. So then I'm in the car, and I see him, you know, and then besides that, this morning he wrote a letter to them telling him that he's been a very big customer all these years, 30 years, and this is terrible that they didn't return the chicken. And I said, well, you know, I told them not to return it. So, see, that's the thing, you know, when someone eats the wrong food and their ears aren't working, it's a big job, you know, trying to be happy and friendly and loving. And
well,
you
probably
know,
get a certificate in the mail for a new meal, a new meal of chicken.
Well, I think he was asking for them to lower the price of the check, and they didn't.
Uh-huh.
And he said he was going to go there again this morning to this afternoon to complain again. And I said, you know, you're making a mountain out of a molehill, you know. Right? But, you know, I don't know, Rose, if you've been married, but it's a schlep, you know, this whole mishigas. I don't know if you know that word, but to be able to be level-headed, trying to be on your own side and not having to deal with the little aggravations that go on. But that's what partnership is all about, is each other has to put up with their stuff.
Yep, that's what happens when you get married. Yeah, eventually. Because,
I know,
you know, things change. But, yeah, that's why, you know, I think it's like 40 or 50% of the population end up in divorce every year.
Yeah, yeah, but thank God, you know, he supports me, you know, he pays for all my stuff, and you know, it's really tough to be making a living supporting yourself in the way, you know, you want to be and stuff. So, you know, it's a give and take, you know.
Yeah, it's, definitely. But you wrote the book looking at the bright side mostly, so now you're looking at the bright side that, hey, you know, I can live with the hearing aid and not ordering the, not eating the chicken that I ordered, but putting up with it. And then your husband says, no, that's not right. We got to get our money back. That's ridiculous. You know, we've been coming here 30 years. So I see both sides of the story. But like you said, sometimes it's better to have a three-story house that one can live downstairs and one can live up there. And you kind of get it at dinner time.
Oh, and then I also listen to a lot of the health stuff, you know, on the internet about the mold, you know, when people are moving out of their house or they're getting it fixed and stuff. And so so I noticed there's mold because we've had 10 leaks in our townhouse. And you know, sometimes we had to have the whole wall replaced. And I told the owner, she's in charge, and we had talked about getting rid of all of our trees because the trees are hitting the pipes and the pipes are breaking into the house and the building. I live in a, you know, townhouse, so there's 12 units. So each one has a different problem, and I guess the copper pipes, but I guess that they're supposed to be putting plastic pipes in there now or something. So anyway, it's the rain is a blessing, but still, you know, I always have to look for leaks, and having the mold here, I don't know, there must be a way to straighten that out, the mold, without having to call somebody in.
I don't know, but it's pretty serious. If you have mold in your house, you have to get rid of it because it can be deadly and can be serious, can cause you know, health issues. You know, Esther, you wrote this book, looking at the bright side mostly. And in your book, at the beginning, look at the bright side, Esther.
says, are you sure you're not a therapist?
We all have to do that every
Rose?
Day.
You're a therapist, aren't you, Rose? You're a therapist, aren't you?
I am. Everybody calls me with their problems and asks me and writes me.
Oh,
been
great.
Going
That's
on all
good.
My life.
Well, tell them.
Yeah,
the
I don't mind helping
looking
people.
Looking on the bright side, mostly.
Yeah, they just got to look on the bright side. Things could be worse, you know, but, you know, can't put our expectations too high in life because the higher the pedestal, the harder the fall when it shakes and breaks down.
Yeah, so, for sure.
In the beginning of your book, it says, you wrote, "Digging deep, get out of my way, Esther." What did you mean by that?
Well, it's you try harder and harder, and you keep having someone in your way. You push them away. That way you can dig deeper.
Just keep pushing them away.
So I'm digging, like we left the house a couple weeks ago. I've been in and out, but I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we were driving out of our garage, and there was a fire right next to us in the alley. And my husband gets out of the car and starts stamping on it. I said, "Don't do that." So some people were walking by, and they threw their water, you know, from their drinking water that they were drinking. They were pouring it on there, and a couple of other people went by, and they were throwing the water. And then somebody called the fire department. And it wasn't a very big fire, but it was kind of scary, you know. And
could turn
you know what
into
happened.
A big fire, though.
It was small. It was, you know, maybe a foot by 3 feet, you know. But see, what happens here is they have one big can for this gigantic condominium, and one big can can't hold all that stuff, and everybody's buying all the stuff on Amazon in boxes, and all these boxes are thrown on there and trash and stuff. And so anyway, somebody must have thrown a fire match there just for fun.
Yeah,
but anyway,
especially New Year's, like every... Every year somebody, I think, it sounds like they're shooting off a gun, but they're actually firing off the fireworks. And they do it every holiday for at least 2 hours. And it's late
Fourth
at night,
July.
Usually like 10 to midnight or something. But yeah, I just got used to it.
Yeah, I know. Wow, yeah. It's a big job to, you know, living anywhere.
Yeah, it is. Living anywhere, living on the planet. That's a big job. And so, Esther, when I look at your book, Looking at the Bright Side Mostly, and you tell these different stories, what made you decide to write these different incidents that happened in real life?
Well, this is actually very good therapy for me. Every time I go out, something happens. I don't know what it is. It just is. I went to the gas station, and at the gas station, they have this little door that comes out so that you won't touch anybody, and you put your card there. And so this time they asked me to go around, and the card didn't go in the thing. The guy was using like 5 minutes trying to put the card in the little holder, and this gorgeous guy was right behind me, and he had this cute little dog. And I said, "Are you an actor?" And he said, "No." So then he said, the attendant says, "Well, how much are you going to put in?" They didn't want to see cash, because they're afraid, I guess, everybody's going to steal money. And so, you have to figure out how much is it today. Is it $6 or is it $7? Is it $8? And then you tell them how much gas you need. So I said, I'll have $60 worth. So I go in outside to get, and I'm washing my car at the same time I'm getting gas. And then the guy is right parked behind me. He hands me a cloth, and he starts wiping it for me. It was so cute. So
yeah.
I did.
Be there.
I mean, that's a weird thing that happens.
Yeah, there are nice
people in the world.
Write
about
that. Yeah, and I think that's so important for everybody to remember that we do, you know, have these experiences. Like I went to the gas station yesterday, and you can go anywhere from $4 to $6 in here in the OC that I've seen so far. And they say, "Wow, lucky us! It came down from 10." You know, wow, aren't we lucky? But in 2019, it was only 3. So how lucky are we?
I know. And we're so lucky, yes. And
yeah,
then,
we're so lucky. We're only paying double and triple instead of quadruple.
Yeah. Do you remember in L.A. they had lines to get gas because they were, you know, there wasn't enough gas and you had to only get a certain amount of gas? I was just like I don't want to tell everybody how old I am. But I remember that. And then the buses were on strike, and people took the buses. They couldn't go to work. I mean, it was amazing all the stuff that's gone on in L.A. But and then one time I took the bus to college, L.A. City College. I lived in Southwest L.A. And the buses decided to go on strike. And so I had to ask some complete stranger to drive me home. But, you know.
Well, that's amazing because what you're saying, you know, is like, okay, they want to force everybody to get an electric car, but they don't talk about the percentage of electric cars that have actually caught on fire, which are in the thousands. And they also don't talk about that there's not enough. It would take decades to put in enough of those electrical facilities for you to spend 2 hours filling up your charger on your battery, and then you'd have to wait in line and wait your turn. So I mean, it's like insanity in my opinion, because first of all, those electric cars are extremely expensive, and so what are they going to do? Trash all of the vehicles that take gasoline?
They mentioned a year. Did they mention what year was it that they were going to eliminate all gas?
Yeah, I think they're all delusional and probably smoking pot or something because it's not going to work out for them.
Yeah.
They should come to my therapy classes so I can help them out.
Okay. I think so. Then you just tell them that you agree with them. It's a big, big mess outside, and it's better just to be on the phone with you. Are you sure you're not a therapist?
Well, the bottom line is it makes no sense. It's not common sense to think that everybody can just go out and buy a brand new Tesla or whatever. Everybody cannot. They can't even hardly afford to pay for their electricity, their gas, and their food with, you know, 3 or 4 kids to feed. And the rent. And so everything is so expensive that millions of people are actually moving out of California looking for a more reasonable place
to live. Do you think that's a good idea? Do you think that's a good idea to move out of here?
I've never lived anywhere else, so I wouldn't know. You know, I mean, I've visited other states, but I've never lived in them.
Yeah, I've always lived in California. The weather is so wonderful here, except for the, you know, when there's an earthquake. and they have all those vaults. They have all those vaults on Wilshire.
Actually, they're
Wilshire.
All over the.
And
so they're
going to build underground a train, a streetcar going underneath where the vaults are. I mean, does that make sense?
No, none of it makes any sense to me. I think they've wasted our taxes, you know, and they are just so reckless and so
out of control. Our, not only in California, I think our entire government is out of control. I think greed and lobbyists and secret deals with foreign enemy nations and trafficking into our country with fentanyl and all the drugs. I think there's people taking bribes, white envelopes, making deals behind closed doors, big pharma, all of them, who are greedy. They're only concerned about money. That's it. Money, 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 money. They care less about the future generations. They care less about this nation, only about their bank accounts and their egos and their competitiveness for material world. I said to a lawyer one time, he was egotistical, my first lawyer, actually, and I, another Italian, like me, and I said, I shocked him because I said, yeah, well, it appears to me that the whole system is about power, control, money, and sex, and then you can put any of those in different order depending on what the situation is in their personal life and or their businesses or their secret organizations or whatever, because they're the money changers and they control the money and they control the gold and the silver, which leaves us vulnerable to their injustices and legal abuses of innocent people.
Did you have that lawyer very long?
Did I what?
Did you have the lawyer there very long after you spoke to him about that?
No, he went to jail.
Did he continue working with you?
No, he went to jail.
That's very funny.
Oh yeah, he lost his license and he went to jail. And it's going to be in my book. I'm doing a trilogy of my memoirs of what happened to my life because of the system and the corruption in the legal system.
Ooh.
And hopefully it'll turn into a movie because nobody knows my story, how I became a whistleblower after just baking cookies in my kitchen and turned into a crusader. And so I think it's important for people to know the story because it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
And
you're going to change your name?
No.
I'm going to change.
Because aren't you afraid? I go, afraid of what? You know, just got to trust God, you know, and he's going to protect you on your mission.
Well, you deserve the publicity, and I hope a movie. I'm doing a play now. And because I listened to this lady named Lisa Gold. I don't know if you know her, but she was on KPFK, very enthusiastic, and she gets agents and different people, actors and stuff. And so I thought my son could do a commercial, and he'd be interested in her program. And he did it one time. But then I signed up for a whole year, and she said to me, nobody's reading books, Esther. So then I thought, okay, I'll write a play. And the play is a big job. I thought writing a play would be simple, just writing like, and I have
it's
an editor.
Not.
Yeah, I have an editor, Robin Quinn, for the last 20 years. So she has been, you know, straightening out my an organization stuff, things that were unorganized. Anyway. besides me. So then we decided to do a play, and then I wrote it, most of it, and then we fixed it, and then this lady named Jessica Lynn Johnson has done over 100 one-woman shows or one-person shows. And so it's going to be March 9th, and I'm having an actress take my place because I am really not an actress. Phone is really great. I love talking on the phone. Anyway, and I did take comedy too, and I did take, comedy classes and stuff. So, and I've always been funny, you know. I didn't know if people were laughing at me or with me, but doesn't matter.
They're you and laughing. Me both.
And so, yeah, so this is a big undertaking because I have to get whether to have one camera or two cameras and the editing and the there's so much getting this script correct and getting the actress. Oh, my God, because Lisa Gold had this Christmas party on her Zoom, and this actress said she would do the part, and she's in Philadelphia. And that's a schlep over here, you know, to Santa Monica or Orange County or wherever we were. Was it? Anyway, it was in Sherman Oaks, yeah. So then she just said she couldn't do it. So then she told us about this place that, you know, that a lot of actors look for. And so we have 20 lined up. I'm only going to listen to 3, and that's it, because I'm not going to listen to 20. I could spend my whole 2 months 20. Listening to 20
That would be
actresses.
So confusing after you listen to 20, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm confused enough. So then, and then you have to get the tech guy, and then they got to, I'm going to have artwork and my photographs of my parents and stuff like that, and then it'll mm-hmm. be in the background, and then the performer will be standing there. And it's all done on one day. So in the meantime, I have 2 more months to finish this up. But it becomes a traumatic, I didn't realize. It sounded so simple. I'll do a play, and then it's not simple.
Yeah, I looked at that too. Well, script writing, and I was like, "Wow, this is not as simple as I thought it was going to be." So I was taking some classes and stuff, and on it, and then also you have to. I learned that even if you write the script, that many times if they buy your book and the script that. They have their own writers, and then their own writers come in and they change your story.
Yeah, because I'm sending my link. Did I send you a link of my reading? I did a reading, and I'll send you a link if you'd like.
Sure.
I guess I'll just send it to your email. And so I did the reading, but then at the time I was reading, I had left 3 of the pages in the envelope. So I was on page 13, and all of a sudden I'm on page 16. And then I had, Robin Quinn is my editor, and so she had to improvise on looking all over for those pages. It was like another comedy going on, and make a comedy out of a comedy. So you'll see it. You'll let me know how you like it.
Well, I didn't think that I was going to enjoy a one-person play, but my 2 daughters and I got tickets to go to this play called My Mom's Italian and My Dad's Jewish. And because, they're very similar, the Jews and the Italians. So we wanted to go see it. But at the same time, we're like, only one person. So this is for 2 hours. This is probably going to be boring. But we'll go anyway because we like plays. And so we always go to L.A. to see the plays. That's where most of them are. And so we get there, and I'm telling you, I don't remember the name of the actor, but it was the funniest play. You never got bored. He pulled off the whole thing perfectly. And we were probably laughing the hardest because we get the Italian part, and so much. And then he was so funny, and his performance was excellent. That if it came back around, we would go see it again. And we were very happy with the one-man play.
All right.
It was better than some
movies. I love plays.
Yeah, we do too.
When I was in college, I was a radio TV film major, and I got an A in the playwriting class. Now, if I could only find that play, what did I wrote? But... because I have, I'm a collage artist, So then I save all the trash from the garage that everybody's throwing out. And they're wonderful. They're wonderful stuff that people throw out.
And you have to also get people who will fund fund your, help you fund your play, help you fund your movie. I mean, there's so much that goes into it that people think, oh, you wrote this book. It was, they don't even think twice about how much effort went into that book. And,
yes,
you know,
yes.
Like the cover
and, now with the
and
book,
the title.
A lot of the book clubs, the book stores closing and then, well, they're going to have the L.A. Book Fair. Do you go to that at all?
I had my book at the Frankfurt Fair in Germany, but I couldn't
go. Did you go to Frank?
I didn't go there, no, but they took my book there. And promoted them there. Yeah, so.
Oh,
but
wow.
My one book I have coming out, pretty good. I have some interest. And with the traditional publishers, I've had like 3 queries to me, not in query them, they queried me, to send them information, which I did. But, you know, there's so much competition. You know, when they're looking for something new for the following year to promote or into a movie or whatever. And so it's gotten a lot of attention, but so far, you know, it hasn't been purchased. So, you know, you never know.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I met the writer of at the book club, the book club is in Southern California.
Yes.
He was, and I took a photo with him, too. He wrote The War of the Roses, which was like writing part of my story.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And it was written years before somebody picked it up and said, hey, let's make a movie out of it. And he said he got a big fat check in the mail and he was happy.
All right.
And,
you talked to the right people at the right time.
Yeah. It's timing, I think, and the right person seeing it and seeing the vision. You know,
yes.
You have to have somebody that actually sees the vision of your book because, like, there's people who have said, you know, like with my Obamasaurus book, which is political satire, it has adventure and humor and a message for the world on humanity and how vulnerable we are. And so in the end of the story, but I left the ending open so that Professor Noah could move on, if necessary, to another part in part two. And but the thing is that, you know, either people get it, which, you know, or they're awakened to, oh my god, I never thought about that, or I didn't know about this, or whatever, to people who don't get it at all because they're not involved in what they're in, political agendas and what's going on in the world. So it takes that one person. And we don't know who that person could be that says, wow, I like this. No matter what it's about, romance, whatever, I like this story. It touches a nerve with them or something, or touches their heart or their mind, you know. And boom, it could be years later. You know, it's not always necessary that, you know, it's like opening a business. My husband, who passed away, he said,
sorry,
when I started my spa business I had my own cosmetic line, skincare line, and I was a licensed esthetician and aromatherapist and all these different things.
Nice.
Helping people.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I'm an expert in that. I used to have a lot of nurses because they said I had helped healing hands. And but he always told me, he go, now, when you open the doors, he goes, don't expect a crowd to come running through your doors. He goes, it's not going to happen. No business to have that. You know, a bunch of customers coming through. That it takes
That's
time.
That's true. But you have a lot of exposure. You have a lot of exposure with your radio show and everything.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Irwin.
I have a lot of exposure.
I mean, why don't you let me know and catch a cold? No. Irwin, you know, had that. You weren't there for the Irwin Awards, and he was 93 or 94, and he died quietly in bed, I guess that's what they said. Bernstein or something, Brownstone,
yeah.
The guy that was is the president, he's taking over, it looks like, or maybe his twin daughters might, but we still don't know who's going to be in charge of that.
Yeah,
that was lovely to go over there, you know, every other month to the, you know, over there at
the
Sportsman's Lodge.
The ceremony and the special guests and the media. It was really fun to meet all these different people. I was only one of two people who got two awards.
All right. Wow.
Yeah, in 46 years, he said. He said, there were a lot of envious people.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, Irwin always liked my work. He said, I love what you do. You stand on your truth, never change, stay on your truth. He goes, you shock people. You make them aware of things that they don't know about. And he goes, and some people won't like it. He goes, but stay on your truth, never change your truth. Stand on your truth.
Yeah, when we saw that.
Yeah, he liked that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he's incredible. When I saw him on What's My Line, I couldn't believe that was him at that age. And you sent me that great picture of him and Deborah. And I didn't believe it. They were the same people. But he just had an amazing personality and very outgoing was a terrific guy, and I will miss him.
I think, you know, we could say that he actually always knew what he wanted to be, an entertainment type of media type of person, just listening to some of his stories and stuff. I think that he made it happen. He didn't wait for it to come to him. He went out there. He went to events. He met with people. He talked to people. He wasn't shy. And he made everybody feel important.
Yeah.
It didn't matter if you were just a starting out actress or writer like me. He put me in the newsletter the first time I was ever there at the meeting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I still have the newsletter. And I was
good
in several
you
newsletters
know where
over the years.
You know where
yeah.
You know where it is. You can find it.
Yeah, I've done so far. Yeah, I kept all the newsletters.
Oh, good.
Well, most of them.
One time, my husband was a pharmacist, and one of his patients was Ann Miller. Remember Ann Miller? And the famous
classic
dancer.
Yes, in the classic movies, yeah.
And also Irwin worked with her, and so Marty and I were there at the funeral, and I saw him, and he knew I was going to go to Palm Springs to do a couple of radio shows over there, and he's writing up all these questions and places that I was supposed to go over, and he handed it to me at the funeral. Wasn't that nice of him? Really thoughtful.
You just had to love Irwin. I mean, you could not. I don't know anybody that didn't love Irwin Zucker.
Yeah,
he called me almost every day, and he would ask.
Really?
How's you? Oh yeah, he'd say, "How's the great Rose Colombo doing?" I go, "They're fine."
Oh my God!
And he'd say, "How are your daughters?" I go, "They're fine." He was just so sweet. Yeah, he was very sweet.
Yeah. I hope we have.
You know,
Bruce will be. You know, he's very gentle too.
Easygoing.
So maybe he'll work up. I don't know. If
I mean, those are some big shoes to try to fill, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, to even get back, you know, we're taking emeritus college classes here, and they're trying to get them to do a duo where you go to either the room or you can do it online, and they said they're going to have to take the building away if nobody shows up. But, you know, you get used to being home and watching the Zoom and getting all those classes. They had a comedy class and a theater class and a Shakespeare class and a classical music class. And I just like, that's 2 days, Mondays and Wednesdays, that I could take those classes. And then now that the week was gone for the holidays, I forgot what day it was, because, you know, you start thinking, I'm going to do that on that day, I'm going to do that. And I said, well, oh, was I supposed to go? I have the class, so I'm not going. And then I think, oh, I don't need to go. Then you decide not to go any place.
I take classes online, too. I mean, I take classes online.
Which classes are you taking?
I took a class on writing a synopsis, writing a query letter. I mean, people might find, oh, why do you need to do that? But there are things that you may just make a difference in getting the attention of some traditional publisher. And so why not do it, right?
I think it's a good idea. Yeah, I'm getting calls. See, I don't know if those are real calls or they're spam, because on my telephone I could see where it says spam. But and sometimes I'll get a call three times with different numbers, and then I do talk. So one of them was they'll put my book on Netflix. Well, I don't know if that person is telling the truth or not. And then another one was transferring my books to Germany with the Germany bookstore.
Yeah, I
got
that
fair.
One.
Did you get the phone and you actually followed through? Yeah, you went to, you had your book there. Did you actually get it from a telephone call?
Actually, I looked it up online. I was looking for new publisher, and I looked it up online, and they're in New York and London. The publisher.
And then they said that my books were on Amazon one was $7, one was $4, one was $19, or different prices for, and so it's all confused, and they said that they could change all that for me on Google. And so I don't know if that was really true. And then they get mad at me if I don't agree to them. And it's like, some of the salesmen are...
It doesn't matter. You can hang up. Well, I'm sorry.
Well,
I don't mean to be rude,
but
I have to go.
And then they said, I talked to you last month about this whole thing. And I said, oh, you did? And then, but see, that's the thing is, you don't... I know they said, okay, for $150, we can put you on the LA Times. And we'll write an article about you. That
sounded
good,
really,
but then
low,
I thought
$150. I looked up the LA Times.
You did?
The LA Times is a lot more than $150.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't,
at least
so I don't
when
know
I looked
like
up, a, I looked them up online to see, what the costs were, because now everything's so expensive, it's like crazy to put anything anywhere or advertise anything.
Yeah,
so
are you interested in being a speaker over there? You can tell them that you've got the radio show and you can be a speaker over there, and then they pay you
for
that.
Yeah, I used to belong to the LA Press Club for years, and then I also was doing AM/FM radio shows, and on a KIEV, I think it's something else now, KKLA, I think. But it was the same station as George Putnam.
Oh, I
and,
remember.
Yeah. And so I was doing a show called Issues of the Day. And I also interviewing guests who had suffered injustices or who researched injustices or wrote books about it. It was really interesting. And I still have the tapes from that, but yeah, I did that. And
did you try to get on TV or
that.
Something? Oh my God!
Oh,
God.
I
did
was,
you ever try
when
to?
I led a, oh yeah, I led a grassroots movement, and I was on TV all the time on TV clips. You probably didn't know who I was, but I was out there leading marches and protests. And candlelit
oh my God! Really? You were a boy.
Protesting
you're
again.
Lady.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I changed, I proposed laws and changed the laws in California, some of the laws, and child support law nationally, because the legislators took them forward and made it happen. Yeah, I was very politically active.
Yeah. Did you try to run for Congresswoman or something?
No, I had more on my plate than I could handle.
Because we need you.
You know what? I know. And a lot of people said that. In fact, some people said, I didn't like anyone running for president, so I wrote your name on the ballot.
Oh, congratulations. That's wonderful.
Yeah, so there you go.
Endorsement. You've got all these endorsements.
Yeah, maybe I'll run in 2024.
Okay, all right. See, I know.
I
had
be a
all these different.
There.
Yeah, you got. See, you followed one. You followed your steps up the ladder, and so you achieving all the things that you've been trying for, and that's wonderful. Yeah, I keep turning around and making another area go on. And then I think, well, maybe that'll work. But in the meantime, I have like 25 years of artwork in my studio. and plus all the collage stuff I keep saving.
Yeah,
it's
you do beautiful work. You wrote the book, A Face is a Face is a Face, 101
yes.
Faces by Esther Perlman. And I mean, that's very creative. I do.
Do you have that book? Oh, really?
I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's the thing, you know, with washi tapes, you can make a big mess where it doesn't show up like paint does. Washi tape, you just cut out the tape and stick it on a piece of paper. You draw a picture, and then you're going to have a whole great picture. Only thing is, like when I had an art show, they put the picture in the window, and the colors started just, you know, the magic ink, the black ink, started disappearing. My artwork was disappearing in the window, and I had to move it. But I was pleased.
You could have called it magical art.
Watch it now before it disappears. That I could have used it as a comedy routine. Yeah, so then I had it. So then I had to go and tell them to move it. Oh, and then I learned to spray it. You know, I sprayed the tape, I mean, the magic ink, the black ink, Sharpie. And then, but then, you know, to buy a frame for each picture, I would use these Blick. They had these plastic things that they were great. They protected the picture, but if you put it out in the sun, you know, the picture would disappear, the ink would. And then what else?
That would have
and
been a good
washi,
comedy show.
Yes, and the washi tape would start falling off the picture. And actually, it would probably be more interesting to see, you know, watch the piece of art disappear. You know, that would be a nice little comedy routine, you're right. Yeah.
I wish I had that for some people. I could just put the plastic. Bye-bye.
I know. It's a trick to really know the right people to talk to and create something that, you know it's that people are going to like and enjoy and it'll give them pleasure.
People have to take action, though. I mean, I didn't start out to be a writer. I started out as writing poetry as a child because I was an introvert.
Oh, right.
And so
I don't
then
believe
people
it.
Were liking.
No, that's not true.
I know it is true, but I love the radio, and I love being on the radio. I just enjoyed it so much, and then also I enjoyed the podcast because I can do the podcast in my pajamas if I want to.
Oh, good. That's great.
And
so,
I mean, you don't have to get to the studio on time because you can do it, you know, right from your studio at home. So it makes a difference.
You could put your pajamas, a coat over your pajamas and nobody would see.
Yeah,
but
nobody would even know the difference.
Yeah, and you have great, you have a very clear channel because I could hear you. That's good. So I can answer the question. Yes, very important.
Well,
yes.
Gee, Esther, I had so much fun talking to you this New Year.
I always did too,
unfortunately,
Rose. You're
thank you. Unfortunately, we came to the end. So would you want to tell our audience about how they can find your book, especially looking at the bright side mostly? And if you have any websites or contact information for them.
Okay. EstherPerlman.com is my website. And then they could go on Amazon and then I'll look up Esther Perlman, and then they see all the different books that I have out there, and then and if they want to order it, that'd be great.
and go
then,
back and
look at my website, look
better.
At my artwork on the website too. That'd be great.
Fantastic.
Rose, thank you.
Been
wonderful talking to you. I just always enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Esther, for being our very dynamic guest today on Columbo Chronicles. And I wish you and your husband, Marty, a blessed and healthy and prosperous New Year to both of you. God bless
you. Same to you and your two daughters. Thank you. Bye, dear.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that's all we have time for today. And unfortunately, always fun to talk to Esther Perlman. Her book is Looking at the Bright Side Mostly. And don't forget to check out my political satire, Obamasaurus. It's got humor. It has adventure. It's fictional. But it has a scathing message at the end on our humanity and surviving and how vulnerable we are. So it's a great gift for yourself and for the world to wake up. And also, don't forget to check out while you're on Amazon.com, America Under Martial Law. And you can go to my website at rose-colombo.com and look up, who is Rose Colombo?
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Columbo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Columbo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.